Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hi everyone, Maya here, your host of Proud Stutter. I have a few updates to share before we get into today's interview, which I'm super excited about. It's with another filmmaker who stutters. Before we get into it, save the date for Proud Stutter's third annual gala, which is taking place in San Francisco on October 9th, which is the day after my birthday. So this is also going to be a celebration of my birthday and celebrating three years of Proud Stutter. We're also going to be celebrating our 100th episode. You're actually listening to the 100th episode of Proud Stutter, this one right here. So a huge milestone that honestly I never thought I'd hit. So thank you to all the listeners for, you know, listening and helping keep the pod going. It's really listeners like you and your emails, your donations that really just keep me wanting to do this. So thank you all. Another update is we are going to be doing a huge campaign in California. I don't know if you guys have heard about Michael Kidd Gilchrist, but he's been passing stuttering insurance bills from all types of states to expand insurance coverage for stuttering. So if you want to get involved in our California campaign, please reach out to me at info@proudstutter.org. Even if you're not in California, there's so many ways to get involved virtually. So please reach out. And I almost forgot, check out the link in our show notes if you want to get your early bird tickets to our gala happening on October 9th in San Francisco. And that's all the updates we have for now. Without further ado, here's the episode. I'm Maya Chupkov, and I'm a woman who stutters. Welcome to Proud Stutter, a show about stuttering and embracing verbal diversity in an effort to change how we talk about it, one conversation at a time. Welcome back to Proud Stutter. I'm your host, Maya Chupkov. I have Ismaela Tortella here. He is a director and cinematographer who focuses on nature films. And of course, he's also a person who stutters. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Maya. It's an honor to be here. And it's the first time that, you know, I've been introduced as a person who stutter. So yeah, that kind of impact on me, like, you know, to hear, I mean, even if I knew, like, you know, to hear out loud, he had an impact. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm so excited to be having you on because we have met through a mutual connection we both had in the film documentary world. And I mean, as soon as I just found out more about you, I was like, I can't wait to speak with this person. And so I'm just so excited to kind of talk more about stuttering and like being a filmmaker with a stutter and all that stuff. So before we get into your stuttering journey, I'd love if you can talk about your film Arctic Blue. Just a little bit, because you know, that is something you're working on. It's a personal project of yours, and that's kind of how we got connected in the first place. So yeah, tell me about the film you're working on.
Yeah, thanks, Maya. So Arctic Blue is my first feature documentary that I've been working during the last 3 years, and now we are in production. It's a feature documentary where I face my own stutter, and to face it, I use the nature, and especially the Arctic nature. I'm from Italy, but I live in the Arctic, in the Norwegian Arctic, in Tromsø, where I spent the last 7 years. And the Arctic winter had kind of an impact on me always, you know, this long polar night, no sun. And during this really extreme period, is kind of helps you to push to explore the complexity of yourself. And since not like never talking about my stutter, I started to see the similitudes of myself and my stutter in the animals, in the natural world, where in nature there is no need, you know, to speak. There is, you know, the silence, and there is no need of vocals. But I've seen kind of similitudes with a few animals that I've been filming during the last years. And I try to tell my own story about my stutter through the animals during the polar night, during the timeline of the Arctic winter. So during an Arctic winter, that a bit it represents how we're going in through is to face our darkness, and this dark period. So it's also been for the first time for me to face my own stutter and trying to read it and to face it thanks to animals and also some people of the Arctic, and to openly speak about it. And this journey of my documentary, it brought me to speak more and more about it, and that's why I'm here. So I never thought that I will be on a podcast and talking about my stutter, be introduced as a person who stutters. So that's is what it brought me here, what brought me to talk about it.
I love everything you said, and I've met so many people over the years who have like used art and used like all these different ways to like talk about their stutter. And I love that you're kind of describing it through your own filmmaking and through this lens of like during the Arctic night and winter and through these animals. Like, that's just like, I can't wait. I was like, I want to watch that now, and I know you're on that journey now, and I'm so excited for the project to come to life. Like for me, stuttering can feel like being silenced in a lot of ways, and you know, not just by like pauses or, you know, but a lot of it can be like how others might respond to our stutter. And I'd love to hear about like, how did you experience your stutter like throughout your childhood?
You know, it's kind of because it's thanks to Arctic Blue that I started to think about a lot of things that for me felt normal. And during my childhood, I never spoke about my stutter with, you know, no family or friends. I don't know, I felt just that there was no need to, you know, to speak about these things. I don't think it was and necessarily anything, you know, for bad reasons, for anybody, you know, had bad intentions, but it was just something like accepted this in a certain way. It is how it is, you know, we cannot do nothing, and that's how it is. And it's kind of weird that now that more I talk about my stutter and less I stutter. So maybe now I'm thinking that maybe that approach was not the best one. Maybe, yeah, but how it was, I mean, did you, because I'm also curious to hear, because also for me, as I said, first time that we met, you know, it's like the first time that I'm actually talking about stutter with someone who stutters. So also this is pretty weird if you think about it. But it was the same experience is for you, or also you had like, or you've been talking about your stutter when you were young?
Yeah, when I was young, I feel like I was, like when I was first starting to talk, like early elementary school, I just remember being a very like outgoing and really talkative kid. Like I didn't really let my stutter hold me back. And I feel like my mom always thought it was something that she needed to help me fix, which like she was just doing the best she could. But then I went through a really like traumatic period of being bullied, and I kind of like I started to not be as outgoing after that, because I just felt like that really made me feel like I couldn't trust anyone. And like, I just hid a lot of myself after that experience. And so it's taken me a really long time to realize that, like, I've had this kind of like wall up and like this sense of like needing to hide my stutter so I'd never feel that pain again. And so that's kind of how I've been starting to think about my childhood. And yeah, it's kind of sad, but, but you know, like that's just, yeah, like that's just how it was. And it was really hard because I missed out on a lot of opportunities because I just avoided them. So yeah.
I'm sorry to hear. Yeah. I don't know. It's for me, it was like I was trying not to be defined by it. So not to, you know, and not talking about it made it like sort of easier from this point of view, because you know, you don't talk about it, it's like if it doesn't exist. So I really pushed myself. So I felt that I was, you know, constantly out of my comfort zone. So when people say, what are you doing? Like an Italian in the Arctic, you know, I mean, and I'm out of my comfort zone, you know, here, but it feels for me that, you know, this out of my comfort zone is became my comfort zone. It's kind of, you know, just I'm used to it, because every time that you speak, with a new interaction, especially new people, new places, new things. It's being out of your comfort zone. You know, even saying your name, it's your out of your comfort zone. So I felt a normal thing to do. So even if I, you know, I didn't show up this kind of being more, even if it didn't really affect what the choice that I made, it was constantly with me, this kind of, you know, suffer. And I would say more a feeling of shame. I don't know if you feel that.
Yeah, I definitely feel like shame was the big part of my stutter. I felt like, what's wrong with me? Like, why do I sound like this? Like, people, like, why can't I control my speech? Like, I just always felt like I was out of control, and that because I didn't talk about it and because I felt so misunderstood, it would just, yeah, it would tear me up inside, because I just felt like, yeah, this deep sense of shame. And I felt like the only way to deal with that shame was to like overcompensate. So it's like similar to you. Like, I feel like I also put myself in uncomfortable situations. But I never put myself in uncomfortable situations where I would risk stuttering openly. Like, I avoided trying out for the school play. I avoided, you know, being a broadcast journalist as a career, even though that's what I really wanted to do. But then I'd push myself in other ways, where my mom would send me to these camps as a kid, and that was so out of my comfort zone, but I felt like I needed to do it, because in order to be successful, I really needed to push myself. So it was kind of this balance between, like, you know, trying to pass as fluent, but also I didn't want my stutter to win. I wanted to do what I could no matter what. Like, I wanted to show myself that I could accomplish whatever I wanted.
When it was the moment that you decided, like, okay, I'm going to do a podcast about stutter?
It was during the pandemic. And similar to you, I felt like I had this, like, space to finally, like, think about, like, you know, like, go a little more deep and, like, think about my stutter in ways where I didn't before. And I think the pandemic and having, you know, to be inside more and to, you know, it really kind of just allowed me to think about what I really wanted and what was holding me back. And the Proud Stutter concept really came out of me wanting to do something creative, because I never thought of myself as an artist or a creative person. And then when I found out about podcasting and how, like, you can kind of, like, anyone could start a podcast, that's when I was like, maybe this is my way of, like, sharing my voice and, like, being creative. And having that time and space during the pandemic really gave me that opportunity. And so it took me a while to get to a point where I was, like, ready to do the podcast. It actually took me 8 months of planning to, like, do it, because it was scary. But as soon as I did it, I felt like my world just changed. Like, now I feel so much more liberated and free with my voice. And now I, like, embrace my stutter. Like, I'm actually stuttering. Like, I notice I'm stuttering now. Like, you know, I've been stuttering during this interview, and I'm like, yes, I love it, because that's what it's all about. Like, Proud Stutter is all about giving yourself the freedom to sound like yourself. So, yeah.
You know, it's weird for is for me because I'm doing like a personal film about, you know, stutter, and also it became from not talking about my stutter to be almost an everyday conversation. So now it's like, you know, so present, you know. So, and also this like made me feel more, you know, secure. And sometimes I'm also feeling a bit of like a scam because I'm doing a film about, you know, stutter, but I'm not stuttering a lot in several, you know, situations, because if I say that it's a film about stutter, I'm already like taking off, you know, this pressure, and it's out there, you know, we addressed the elephant in the room that, of course, everybody knew is before. It's not that they didn't know or I didn't know, but now, you know, you have this kind of courage, you know, to address it, and it makes you stutter much less. But it's also, you know, weird for me because in other aspects of my life, I still stutter, you know, in simple things, in asking a coffee or asking where is the toilet. If I'm in a bar, you know, a cafe or new interaction, to say my name, I always stutter, and I keep carrying this feel of shame, you know, and you know, I try, but I cannot remove it, you know. I don't know how it is for you.
I feel like I'm in a similar boat where with Proud Stutter, and like now I'm doing all this work around like stuttering advocacy. Like when I don't stutter, sometimes I do feel like a fraud as well. And but then I think back to like when people think of stuttering, they kind of have a certain thing in their mind already of what stuttering is. And so when you're not fitting that version of stuttering that they have in their head, it's like it's an education problem. And so it's like people really need to understand that stuttering, it's not always how you sound. It's a lot of it is like, you know, like the internal, and you know, you can be a covert stutter and still identify as a stutter. So I think there's like a lot of just misunderstanding around stuttering. And I think a lot of that misunderstanding feeds into the shame as well, because a lot of us are constantly worried about what other people think and having new interactions. And it's like every time you speak and you stutter, you're showing your vulnerability. You're showing like the deepest insecurity sometimes about yourself. And so I think what has helped me is just the podcast, really. It's been like my own version of therapy that I never even thought of, but it's like the more desensitized I am to stuttering, like, because I talk with people who stutter every day, and it's like, it's kind of like when I have those moments now of like stuttering at a coffee shop or things like that, it just doesn't get to me as much. But I will say that it still hurts every time I like order a coffee and I stutter on my name or I stutter on my order and that person laughs. Like it's still, and then I like go into my like, you know, sometimes I go back to my most traumatic moments of my life during those moments. And I hate that that happens still, but like, that's just, it's something that we, I guess a lot of us live with, and it sucks, but I feel like those interactions are, that feeling is less and less the more I talk about it.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hi, I'm Terry Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
So maybe if I will do the film and people will see this and release to the world, everybody will know.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm curious, like, because like now that you've been working on this film for a while and you're more out about your stutter, how has, I guess, your feeling about your stutter changed? Like, do you feel like a more sense of pride with your stutter, or like, I guess, yeah, like how have you experienced, I guess, over the course of doing your film of to this point? Do you feel like your relationship to your stutter has evolved?
It's for me like completely changed the relation with my stutter. Yeah, completely changed. I mean, it's such a huge thing to be open. And also, you know, sometimes I think what changed so much that most of the time you already think, when you stutter with a person, you already think that this person will think less of you, or will put you like, you know, in a sort of box. Because I don't know, many times I've heard like the shy Ismail, and I mean I'm the least shy person in the world, you know. I'm not at all. So you know, when you start to that, you already go, or you think that the other person already have an idea about you. But actually, you know, speaking about it, I discovered that most of the time is not. You know, it's for sure it happens, but most of the time, you know, people they don't care. You know, they have their own stuff. You know, they don't care. You know, they literally, okay, you know, something is there, but that's it. And in your mind, that you make such a big deal for yourself, you know, it's an everyday thing. You know, I think it is what's challenging, you know, because it's an everyday thing with a baggage that you carry from all your life in from more challenging period that you carry, and you just put more weight every day. And talking about it also with people and stuff, you discover that they don't care. You start to say, okay, so why should I care so much? And I think that's what it's been like, it's for me a big, change in perspective of this, but I will still feel really feel this shame when I can't, but it's more a shame with myself, you know, like how can I not say the word water, you know, why? Yeah, you know, it just pissed me off, you know, so much. Yeah. You know, I've been doing like, I don't know, a presentation of my documentary in front of, I don't know, 200 people, and I can't order a glass of water. You know, it just is disappointing, you know, and you feel bad with yourself, even if you should not, because it's maybe that person doesn't care, but, you know, with myself, I will still feel this. It's not anymore so much about what the other people think.
Yeah, I mean, I have to speak so much, like, I have to speak publicly now for my job, and it's still hard, like, getting up on stage, and, like, I still deal with that shame all the time, and I feel like what I've started doing when it comes naturally is like, if I'm, cause right now I like talk a lot publicly about stuttering, but when I'm talking about a topic that doesn't relate to stuttering and I start stuttering, what's helped me is when I'm stuttering, I'll kind of pause and be like, you know, there goes my stutter again. Like, just so you all know, like, I speak with a stutter. Usually it happens when I get really excited. Like right now, I'm really passionate about this topic. And then I just see everyone's face like shift a little bit, like from confusion to, oh, okay, like a stutter. So that's kind of helped me a little bit. But I think that really comes with time. Like, because I'm so comfortable with my stutter now, I kind of just am able to do that naturally now when I'm talking. And also, like, to your point, it's like sometimes I kind of, when I put on like my performance talk or something, I'm able to hide my stutter more. And that kind of goes into a question I had for you around, like, you know, like for me, my stutter can show up differently depending on like where I am, who I'm with, and like, you know, if it's in a professional setting or something like that. So I'm wondering, like, for you, like, how do you experience like your stutter in these different situations, like say behind the camera, in front of it, on stage, like with friends, or even if you're like pitching your documentary.
Yeah, so I deal in a best way in my job, in nature. when I'm trying to imitate, you know, the sounds of the animals that they're doing, you know, when the otters are calling, you know, the baby otters are, yeah, this, no, but I don't know. It's for me. I still deal. I don't see a difference of where I am. It's more, I've seen a huge difference if the people know that I stutter, or I'm saying that it's like in the work context. If I'm talking about, you know, my stutter, it's comfortable. Even if it's like, I mean, it's still challenging, but it's okay, you know, I accept it. And even I feel much less pressure on me. And even if I'm, you know, in a public speech, it's paradoxically, it's easier than in other contexts, also with friends, when they bring new friends, you know, that I don't know, I need to introduce myself. It's really challenging because I know that I will stutter on my own name. So it's a bit, you know, paradoxical, but I feel more pressure in context that I should not feel pressure, or like, you know, ordering something or calling at phone, but somebody that I don't, just, you know, these really small things, extremely small things, I feel less comfortable because you don't have the space to speak about stutter. You know, it's, you know, they're short interaction, they are fast interaction. You just, you know, it's, there is no space to that, I feel. So in that once I feel more, I still work to do in that regards. It's for me. I just try, you know, some strategies. I say to my friends, if you introduce me, please say my name. So I don't need to repeat, you know, this kind of stuff. So I try to find my own strategies too.
And I feel like I was just talking to someone the other day about, and I don't know, but I feel like this is one of my biggest pet peeves about talking about my stutter to other people, especially new people, is because I love talking about stuttering, right? Like I love using opportunities to like educate people about stuttering. And sometimes I'll just be like, hey, like, you know, I stutter, I have a podcast about stuttering. And I kind of just like use that as a small talk, I guess. And usually the response is like, oh, you don't stutter, you're fine. Like, you sound great. And I'm just like, guys, like, just accept that I stutter. Like, you don't have to like tell me that I don't stutter. Like, I'm literally opening up to you about that I have a stutter. So I don't need you to like say that I don't, you know? So, I mean, I don't usually respond, but that's kind of the internal thought is like, why can't you just say like, oh, cool. Like, that's awesome that you have a stutter, instead of like, no, you don't stutter. So that's been a little annoying because people just automatically think stuttering is like a negative thing.
I've been thinking a lot about this. If nowadays somebody will come to you and say, okay, I can take away your stutter. I've been thinking a lot about this all my life, you know, like, okay, so if you pay this, or if you do the, you know, just some, you know, some really challenging thing, but you know, your stutter can just disappear. Will you do it?
No, because I feel like stuttering has brought me so much that I've always wanted, you know, like I've always wanted to share my voice, and now I'm doing that through the podcast. I've always wanted, because I didn't have a lot of friends growing up, like, and I think a lot of it had to do with because, I just feel like it was really hard for me to trust people growing up. So I never really had the comfort and stability of having a friend group. Like I was kind of always like having to like float around and, you know, just, I never had that like base, right, of trust. And now I have this like community of people who I like have met and I'm friends with, and, you know, like yourself. And I just feel like the me having a stutter has brought so many beautiful people into my life. So maybe I would have said something differently when I was like in fourth grade during like the hardest year of my life. But at this point, I would do it all over again just so I could be in this space right now in my life. So how about you?
I still think that I will take it away. I don't know. I mean, it's true. I think I'm the kind of person, due to my stutter. I mean, also, no, I will not say that it's all around that, but it had a huge weight, no? Huge weight on me and on my personality. But, you know, it still take a toll. You know, it's still a price to pay for me. And, you know, sometimes I will like to have some kind of really fast interaction. I will not like to think 20 times how to say that, or I will not like to constantly trick my brain to, I don't know, a word, so I replace it with another one. You know, it's a constant thing that we are used to, I guess. I guess that you're also used to it all your life. But I imagine how it will be without it, you know, if I will feel much more lighter, maybe, you know. So, and I will not, you know, I cannot imagine to go to a place or new interaction and not have a sort of kind of feel of anxiety or shame, even if now, thanks to, you know, talking about it, it's much less and you can deal with it, you know, also with if something bad happens, and now that you have much more tools, no, to deal with this emotional scars, no? But I don't know. I would like to experience how is life without having this, you know, how it is, you know. It is a game that is the first one needs to say a word. I can say it, you know, imagine. Oh, that's incredible, you know. I can go to a shop and they ask in Norway always, like, you know, them, if you are a member of something, they always ask your phone number. And not to stutter on the last number of my phone number, you know, imagine. I don't know. Just, you know, all this small stuff. I don't even know how this it will be. So I'm pretty intrigued.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And I feel like with my stutter, it's like I have more fluent times and then more non-fluent times. So I feel like sometimes I do experience that where like I don't have to worry about my stutter as much because it's not as like, because like I like to describe my stutter, it's just like it comes in waves. Like I can be totally fluent for like 3 months and then all of a sudden there it goes again. Like it sneaks up on you. Like there was literally a moment in my life where I thought my stutter was gone and I was like, oh my God, like I'm a normal person again. Like I don't have to worry about this shadow that's been following me my whole life. And then all of a sudden, something happens where a stressful event or something happens and then all of a sudden I have a speech impediment again. And I'm just like, oh, like, damn it. Like I thought this was behind me, right? So I feel like, yeah, like there are certain times in my life where I did feel like, why can't I just not have this? Like, this is literally causing me so much stress. And like, I've gotten, like at work, I've gotten like bad performance reviews because of my stutter. And I would spend hours preparing for a presentation and I'd still stutter. And my boss would say, oh, you didn't prepare enough. And like, those are the times where I'm just like, oh my God, like, I just feel like I can't do life. Like life is just, it's like, I'm just not built to like do a lot of stuff. So yeah, those are moments where I remember being really hard.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, I feel, you know, it's strange because if you do these kind of things and even if you are not prepared enough, but you talk in a good way, you're still really happy with yourself. You know, me, it was more the success of not stuttering anything than actually to do a good job, you know, in general. I don't know how it's alive. Without it, I always add more or less. And also for me, I don't know it's for you, but is to learn a new language, it's like you much more challenging, you know. When I'm in Norway, and one of the reasons why I don't I don't speak Norwegian. It's because I stutter so much when I learn a new language, but like hugely. I don't want to go through it again, you know. So I'm, after 7-8 years, I'm still keep surviving with English. But yeah, I don't know. It would be much easier, everything. But I have a thing, because I notice, or maybe, you know, people made me notice that I was doing at the start of Arctic Blue. I used to do, you know, a teaser of the documentary, and also when I did other, some experience that I had to use my voice as a voiceover for something, I always, in the editing room, I always used to remove, you know, the stutter and repeat. So sort of hiding concept through the tools of my work. The editing, it's a magic place where you can hide everything, from the mistakes that you do with the camera to your own voice. Because I mean, I didn't want to show, or maybe it was more for myself, you know, to listen to myself stutter over and over. It was a big torture when you are editing. Because I've seen that in your opening of the podcast, you don't stutter. Have you also done, you know, the same, or?
No, so I just had a fluent moment. So yeah, but in my, when I first started the podcast, it was always like, it was torture. Like you said, like having to listen to myself stutter in the beginning and being like, oh my God, like I sound so bad. But I really pushed myself to like not edit out my stutter, because obviously it's a podcast about stuttering. But then it's interesting because it's like I'm balancing. I want people to listen to the podcast, but also have it be authentic. So it's always a balance of like editing, you know, like I try really hard never to edit out stuttering. But, you know, sometimes there's like long pauses. And so I'm like, wait, is that a stutter or is that just a pause? So I kind of always just use my instincts of like what's most authentic and how to make it listenable. But yeah, I remember the first, like, some people, they like listen to early episodes and then they listen to me now and they're like, you used to stutter a lot more in the beginning episodes than you do now. And I'm always like, huh, that's really interesting. So yeah, I think my stuttering has definitely become like less, like more fluent over time. And I think it's a lot of kind of what you said. It's like the more you talk about it, the less weight you have. And like that weight, like really when I started Proud Stutter, I slowly began to notice that weight was getting lighter and lighter. And because, yeah, there's that, all that baggage I've been carrying my whole life. And yeah, I really feel like I was hiding a big part of myself for so long, and it really impacted my relationships a lot. So yeah, I don't know. Like, especially like dating and stuff, that was really hard. But I feel like, yeah, like I can take it, like I feel like it's kind of like I'm taking a breath, and it's just like letting it all out over time. I don't know if you began to feel that. Like, I know you said that the weight is getting lighter, but yeah, I just feel like you can never fully shake it off completely.
Yeah, no, I understood that, you know, I will never, you know, it's not when I... you know, started a bit about, you know, this film and to explore, because I never did, as I said to you, I never spoke about myself. I mean, with nobody, just I never did research. I could have done. I don't know. It was just there. And I thought at the start is maybe, you know, if I face it and this, I can overcome and, you know, just overcome something. I mean, now it's pretty clear that it will stay with me always on a certain way. I'm just trying to understand all this, you know, this, it's more for me, the feeling that I have, you know, with myself and this kind of shame. This is what I'm trying to understand better on me and why I still feel in a certain way. And I think also something that you said, you start make me think to about another point, you know, because I never, you know, now with this film, I'm talking so much about my stuttering. I'm exploring this concept a lot and I'm thinking, okay, you know, I don't know, also with my oldest friends, I never spoke with them about my stutter. So do they really know me? You know, it's such a huge part of us. It's huge. And to think that I never really shared with so many people. Now I'm sharing more. Also with my partner, you know, I'm talking more openly, let's say, about this. But I'm sort of thinking, you know, is maybe it was always a part of myself hidden from everyone. And even more, even hidden to myself, maybe, you know.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that we talked about in the documentary that I'm making is the question, is my stutter really me or not?
Yeah, it is a big question. Because we try to run always to don't be defined by our stutter, but how much it defines us. And it's also connected, you know, to the question, do you want to remove it or not? You know, because of course, if you feel that it's a huge part of yourself and you remove it, you know, it's like removing yourself. I don't know. I haven't arrived there yet.
Yeah. And it's like your stutter can cause you stress and can impact your mental health, which then could impact other health, other healths too. So it like stuttering can impact your overall health too, which is kind of scary to think about. 'Cause stress can manifest in ways in your body that, you know, we don't fully understand. So yeah, that's a whole nother thing. And that's like another topic we talk about in the documentary that I'm doing as well. So yeah, there's so much to unpack and yeah, I'm so excited that you decided to like do this project. And yeah, I think it's gonna really help our community. So thank you for like just being willing to go there and like dig deep and share your story.
Thanks, Maya. I hope it will be useful for other people also.
And that's it for this episode of Proud Stutter. This episode of Proud Stutter was produced and edited by me, Maya Chupkov. Our music was composed by Augusto Deniz, and our artwork by Mara Ezekiel and Noah Chupkov. If you have an idea or want to be part of a future episode, visit us at www.proudstutter.com. And if you like the show, you can leave us a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Want to leave us a voicemail? Check out our show notes for the number to call in. More importantly, tell your friends to listen too. Until we meet again, thanks for listening. Be proud and be you. We'll be right back.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.